Welcome to the podcast we call Soul Chaser, featuring stories from the book by the same name, Soul Chaser. This is Jordan Rich, and by my side is author Lauren Decker. We want to spend time with you today at soul level, awakening our spirits to the simple and beautiful idea that God is love and love is everywhere.
I saw this once before, a picture in my mind, colors in the air. Sunlight on a field, lovers in a dance, love is everywhere. Love is everywhere.
And now, today's installment of Soul Chaser.
Hello everyone, I'm Jim Deering, and this is Soul Chaser, Stories with a Purpose by Lauren Paul Decker. Today's story is called Trumpet Sounds. I'm certain I had a normal childhood. I had two parents and an older sister. I played Little League baseball and cowboys and Indians. I rode my bicycle everywhere. I went to church on Sunday, and I went to trumpet lessons on Monday. Later in my young teen years, I devoted Saturday mornings to marching band practice. I never really enjoyed playing a musical instrument. My parents thought it would be a good discipline for me, so after school each day, I was mandated to practice my horn for half an hour. I would blurt and blat my way through the church hymnal or try my valves on some classics that were in my music book. Oh, Clair de Lune and When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again were barely recognizable, but my lip was getting stronger, and so was my will to master my wind instrument made of brass. My music teacher was a high school student who attended our church. I don't remember much about our sessions, which we shared on Monday afternoons after school. I do recall that he often said, and how, when I would show some musical promise on a particular song or exercise. I wasn't sure what that phrase meant, but I thought it was cool, as was he. He had a Beatles-style haircut and could play I Want to Hold Your Hand. So inspired was I that I dutifully played through my ascending and descending scales and hoped that my parents would let me grow out my bangs. Johnny, that was his name. He also showed me that by removing the mouthpiece and blowing through that trumpet attachment, you could sound an awful lot like Donald Duck. He and his mouthpiece eventually went off to college, however, so my parents had to search for a replacement musical instructor. My dad had a pastor friend who knew a pastor friend who had a parishioner who had a brother who was an unemployed cleric and a trumpet player who could surely use a little extra income. My lessons, therefore, continued on with the recommended reverend from New Bedford. "Call me Roy," he said at our first meeting. Wednesdays were my lesson days with Roy. New Bedford was a big city, and I often felt a bit uneasy there. However, as soon as I arrived at his second-floor apartment home, he would set up a music stand in the middle of his living room and make me a glass of chocolate milk. If there was a Mrs. Roy, I never saw her. My instructor would then bring in two metal chairs with foam seats covered in plastic from the kitchen and place them just so in front of the sheet music on the metal stand. Away we would go. I soon realized that Roy was not so far ahead of me on the trumpet player skill chart. My parents were wise enough to use the 30-minute lesson time to run errands. After all, we didn't sound very good, and Roy was not a fan of the Disney duck squawking noises that I was quite adept at by this time. No, Roy was all business. There were no brass-based cover versions of the Fab Four songs at these trumpet tune-ups. We stuck to the songs that were included in the Trumpet for Beginners music book. I always left the apartment with a low-grade headache. I think the place smelled funny. Anyway, On the way back home to the neighboring town of Acushnet, I would lean my head against the cool of the car window. "Open it just a skinch, dear," my mother would say, and breathe the fresh air. A jaunt through the drive-through lane of the Howdy Beef Burgers, where 28 cents would buy you a sizzling burger fresh off the grill, would serve to lighten my mood. For just another quarter, you could add French fries to your meal, and the chocolate shakes were a cheap treat that doubled as a tasty dessert. I never mastered the horn. However, I did get good enough to double-tongue my way through "I Want to Hold Your Hand." I lied once trying to impress Sandy Souza in the fifth grade and told her I could play all of the Monkees originals. I don't think she bought it, but I did manage to sound like Donald Duck enough to make her laugh at recess. I had brought my mouthpiece to school that day just for that purpose. I am sure that I thought more about little Miss Souza than I did my trumpet skills. The proof was in the pudding. The last time I attempted to make music with my trumpet was at a sunrise service on Easter about 20 years ago. One of my church deacons also played the trumpet, and we decided to perform a duet to open the gathering of hearty, dawn-breaking Christian souls. The hour was early and the music difficult, but we launched into "Christ Arose" nonetheless. About halfway through, I began to laugh, thinking it sounded more like "I Want to Hold Your Hand" than an Easter hymn. Laughing is not conducive to trumpeting, and so the two of us botched the duet pretty badly. The thing is, when you mess up an Easter service, the Donald Duck mouthpiece voice is not a second option. So as we finished the song, I put down my trumpet and turned to the congregation, who appeared appreciative of our effort, if not the end results, and simply said, "And how? And how?" The cleverness of that catchphrase had not diminished despite the passing of years. The book of Revelation says at the end of the age, an angel will blow a trumpet call for all the earth to hear. I don't know how much practice time that heavenly herald puts in. It's a pretty big gig, after all, announcing the Lord's return. You don't want it to sound like the Beatles, circa 1964, but if it goes that way, he can always pull off the mouthpiece. I plan on being all smiles when Christ returns. And how, and how.
This has been Soul Chaser. We hope this program has caused you to consider the vastness of God's love for you. Nothing is going to change that reality, but love can certainly change you. Remember, love is everywhere, and God is love. For more stories with a purpose, pick up a copy of Soul Chaser, Devotions to Anchor the Soul, available on our website, soulchaserbook.com, or find it at amazon.com. This is Jordan Rich for Lauren Decker and Soul Chaser. See you next time.